The Old Testament lesson today comes from 1 Samuel 15, verses 20 to 26. It's a little tricky, so listen up. Saul said to Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." Amalekites, I knew that one. "But from the spoil, the people took sheep and cattle, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the Lord of the, to the voice of the Lord? Surely to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is no less a sin than divination, and stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray, pardon my sin and return with me, so that I may worship the Lord." Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." Here ends the reading. From the New Testament, reading comes from Luke 22, verses 24 through 30. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentile lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater than the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Jonathan. I know over the course of my years as a minister and with people knowing when I'm a Christian, I have heard a statement that I'm sure many of you have heard from people, and that is, "Well, it must be okay, it's in the Bible." Now, usually I hear that from people who aren't all that familiar with the Bible. And often it comes with, you know, people just, in my experience, has been people who are justifying another drink, because after all, Jesus turned water into wine. However, the Bible is not meant simply as a "if it's there, you do it" kind of book. It is not a sanitized account of what God thinks it's okay to do. The Bible brings remarkable honesty about bad examples also. And they are in our scriptures and stand as object lessons on what not to do in the future. Now, I know that I think it was two summers ago, I did a series on the dumbest people in the Bible, and a number of you related to, no, let me rephrase that. You didn't relate to it, you responded to it positively. So for the next three Sundays, I'm going to be looking at some of the Bible's bad examples, and I'm starting with King Saul. Saul's father was a rich and influential member of the tribe of Benjamin, and Scripture tells us that Saul was among the handsomest men in the kingdom and literally stood head and shoulders above many of the other men in Israel. He was willing to help his family as needed, and in the beginning, he was humble. When the prophet Samuel first told Saul that he would be given charge of the kingdom, Saul's response was, "I am from one of the smallest tribes. Surely you're making a mistake." But Samuel said, "No, this is what God has told me to tell you and the nation." We know that Saul was charismatic. People in Israel responded to his call to come together in times of crisis. He knew how to step in and take charge of a situation. And of course, Saul was the one that the Spirit instructed Samuel to anoint as Israel's first king. People's enthusiasm, people's hopes, people's expectations were huge at the start of Saul's reign. Just think, as the first king, Saul had no one who was going to come up to him and say, "Well, you know, the other kings have done it differently than you." Things started off well. Saul began to meld what had been a loose confederation of Israelite tribes into a more unified kingdom, willing to stand with each other in the face of threats. He pushed the Philistines out of much of the interior lands of Israel, pushing, you know, into cities around the edge of the kingdom. And as his successes mounted, so did his power. But success and power are not self-perpetuating. Both history and Scripture tells us this. Becoming an initial success is one thing. Knowing how to handle success so that one can be a continued success is quite another thing. While any of us are striving for success or seeking power or authority, we had better make sure we know how to use them once we have them. Because success and power are deceptive as well as being seductive. They can cause any person to think more highly of themselves than we should. We can start believing that whatever we've done it out of our own gifts and abilities and are accountable to no one but ourselves and God, so we'll keep up the sacrifices. But there are always some forces, circumstances, or people who help hold those with power in check, not to mention God's on the premises always. Parents, spouses, children, friends, associates may all be the ones to tell us when we go too far. As a parent, my children were always willing to tell me when they thought I went too far. Our faith, our conscience, may show us how to keep from turning God-given freedoms into irresponsible license and may help us maintain that balance between freedom and responsibility. And Saul had a reminder of that in the person of the prophet Samuel. Samuel had anointed Saul as the one chosen by God. Samuel was there to remind Saul that God's calling was not just a privilege, but a call to serve God's people, protect them, and set an example of living according to God's will. When success and power began to go to Saul's head, Samuel was there to remind them that it wasn't Saul's hand that had won the throne, it was God's. Let's face it, all people have to be careful about misusing and abusing what God has given us. If we don't use what God has given us in the right way with the right spirit, we risk losing it. And Saul began to act without regard to God's word and will. He seemed to believe he could make a mistake or choose his own path and then, you know, do the right sacrifice, say the right words to God in order to patch things up with the Lord. But God always knows what's really going on with us. So when Saul tried to sacrifice once too often to offset a mistake, God had Samuel say, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the voice of God? Surely to obey is better than sacrifice." After Saul had been called into accountability by God, he became a different person, because sin changes people internally. Sin and remorse reduce Saul to a shell of his former self. Once a personable, charismatic leader, Saul became irritable, haunted, driven, difficult to live with, and he became suspicious of people around him. And when we become distrustful, any of us, believing someone is out to get us or they don't understand us, we have a serious problem with ourselves. And Saul turned on those who had been close to him, even those still trying to help him. One such, if you remember scripture, was David, who in the army had helped score victories on behalf of Israel, and then whose singing helped soothe the demons growing within Saul's soul. But Saul became jealous of David's accomplishments and David's popularity. When someone, anyone, is threatened by another person's accomplishments, we have a serious problem with self. Saul drove David.
I found this on the web for a serious problem with self. Check it out.
Hold on. I got it. Saul drove David and a number of capable soldiers away from him. Battles went against him, and ultimately Saul killed himself. Saul had it, but he lost it. He lost kingdom, health, he lost openness to God's spirit within him. And we can have a lot in our lives, but if we don't keep open to the Lord's direction, we can still lose things. So Saul was one king. Now let's take time to look at a different king in Scripture. One who said that when a dispute arose among them as to who was to be regarded as the greatest, he said, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. And I am among you as one who serves." This was a king who stressed service and sacrifice over power and position, a king who did not self-trumpet his own importance as one who deserved adulation, but stressed the fact that he wasn't sealed at the head table simply to receive from others, but was there to serve according to God's purposes. Jesus was a king who didn't build fine palaces, but actually at one point said, "I have no place to lie my head," during the course of his ministry. One who didn't simply criticize those who opposed them and label them as bad without also offering forgiveness and reconciliation. A king who, instead of trying to kill those who opposed him, said, "Father, forgive them," as he hung upon a cross. Saul had it and lost it, in part due to focusing on his importance to the point of losing sight of God. He felt that position and success and doing the right rituals would save him from accountability. Saul's bad example has not kept others from the same path of self-elevation and then fall. I don't know how many of you follow news of churches in America, but there have been a sadly large list in the last decade of megachurch pastors caught in sexual scandals or patterns of abusive leadership practices. So may Saul's bad example be a warning to us all to pattern our lives on the one who came to serve, that we might also then serve up love and grace to others. Amen.